Senate will come to order. Would all senators indicate their presence by voting affirmatively? Secretary, take the roll.
The roll shows 18 members present.
Our chaplain today is Pastor Ken Smith of Chapel by the Lake.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, occasionally we get the impression that, like Daniel, we are in a lion's den with seemingly no way out. Every way we look, we find jaws and claws of opposition, whether from differing political philosophies, pressure groups, unconsoled constituency, administration adversity, committee contrivance, caucus non-concurrence, or press-propagated proclamations that we hardly recognize as our own. So like Daniel, Father, give us total faith in you and in your call to us to do your will in this chamber. Keep us from the pressure of fangs and feet, but still through the small, quiet voice, we might know your will, your wisdom, and your fellowship. Then turn the fangs and feet into friendships, our fears into fellowships, and this lion's den into your sanctuary, for we pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Senator Huber. Without objection, so ordered. Would the Secretary show the presence of Senators Holman and Sackett? Introduction of guests? Certification of the journal? Yes. Would the Secretary certify the previous day's journal?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 59th legislative day.
Mr. President, I move an action as to the consent of the journal for the 59th day be approved.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered. Introduction of guests? Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning.
Messages from the other house.
Message of March 9. The House accepts the invitation of the Senate to meet in joint session Thursday, March 10 at 2 p.m. to consider the resolution disapproving Executive Order Number 39. The House has passed the following.
Incidentally, before we go into that, on the joint session, I don't think there's any reason for us to convene there. Let's convene directly in the House chambers. Would you proceed, Madam Secretary?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 67, amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Uniform Land Sales Practices Act.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill Number 179 by Representatives Duncan, Byrne, Bennett, Brown, Buchholz, Cotton, Eliason, Freeman, Gardner, Greening, McKinnon, Malone, Meekins, Miller, Nackack, Ossie S. Osterbach, Parr, Road, Rudd, Smith, Specking, and Urien, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Education for community schools and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill Number 304 by Representatives Cooper and Swanson, an act making a special appropriation made to the Department of Education for the reconstruction of the school at Anderson and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
There are no other messages from the House.
Communications?
Yes.
Senator Sackett.
Senate
will stand at ease. Back to order. Senator, did the Finance Committee intend to be present for the daily calendar?
If we have to, yes.
I mean, if there's a call of the House, but you did not...
The Department of Education up there, and we're trying to get through the budget.
You did not intend to come back for the calendar unless there was a call of the House.
Right.
All right.
Mr. President,
Senator Curtula.
Time now at 5:30. I'm going to ask the Senate for recess to call the chair for the Democratic Caucus.
Is there any objection, Senator Orsini? Do we have any estimate of time here, gentlemen?
15 minutes, maybe.
You, Mr. Orsini? Same, fine. We stand in recess to the call of the chair. The Senate will come to order. Thank you. consideration of the daily, we're at communications, I guess. Senator Ray. Without objection, revert to introduction, yes.
Gary, on my side, an old friend of mine, retired to the fireman, light pole climber, general baloney thrower, and something like I am. A good friend, Arnie Sessler.
Senator Willis. Any further introduction, I guess? We revert to our standing orders then, communications.
There are no communications this morning.
Standing committee reports.
The House State Affairs Committee has had Senate Special Concurrent Resolution Number 1, disapproving Executive Order 39 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do not pass. The report was signed by Representative Bradley, chairman, and concurred in by Senator Representative Lathine, Dankworth, Kelly, and Miles. A Representative Nackack signed do pass. Representative McKinnon signed no recommendation. The Senate Committee on State Affairs had this resolution under consideration and reports it back as follows. Senator Curtua, co-chairman, and Senator signed do not pass. Senators Huber and Ray signed do pass. Senators Willis and Bradley signed no recommendation.
That will be noted in our journal, and the secretary will, of course, take the committee reports to the joint session this afternoon.
The Finance Committee has had Senate Bill 68, Special Appropriation to the Department of Public Works for the Haines Boat Harbor, under consideration, and the committee recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill 68 with the new title, and reports that back as follows. Senator Sackett, chairman, and Senators Meeland and Tillian signed do pass. Senator Butterbidge signed do pass. Senators Orsini and Holman signed no recommendation. There's no further referral of 68.
Rules.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has had Senate Bill 168, Special Appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services and the Department of Education for alcohol-related programs under consideration, and the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Hackney, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Sumner, Willis, and Bradley. There is a further referral of 168 to finance. The rule.
Senator Ray. Senate will stand at ease. Order.
The Rules Committee has had Senate Resolution 4 congratulating Jean Elizabeth Dementi on her ordination, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 20 commending the Governor's AS-28 Revision Interim Review Committee under consideration and recommends that they be placed in the calendar. The report was signed by Senator Ziegler, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Coletta and Rader. These two resolutions will appear on tomorrow's calendar. There are no other standing committee reports.
Special committee reports?
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 17 by Senator Ziegler urging approval of the U.S. Borax proposed mining access road.
State Affairs.
There are no other resolutions.
Introduction of bills.
Senate Bill Number 234 by Senator Sumner, an act relating to property owned or leased by a religious organization and used for recreational activities and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 235 by Senator Sumner, an act relating to licensing of barbers.
Commerce.
There are no other bills.
Brings us to the consideration of our daily calendar.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 60 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to compulsory school attendance and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee had this bill under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Hackney, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Bradley and Willis. Senator Rohde signed no recommendation. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta. Is there there is objection?
The only reason, Mr. President,
Senator Ray.
The only reason for the objection is that I'd like somebody to explain the difference between the original bill and the substitute.
Senator Hackney.
Mr. President, the original bill, as it was introduced in the House, had one more line of verbiage in it, which added the word "or" to one section of law. And it was determined that that wasn't
any further objection to advancement to third reading?
No, Mr.
Senator
President.
Cotullo?
What? Or pretends and ties itself into some other section of the law under 9, or has completed the 12th grade, is that what you're talking about? Has completed the 12th grade, or has completed the 12th grade, is that what you're talking about?
Senator Hackney?
The wording was on came in the House, it said Section 2 of the bill, 143001OB9 is amended to read Section 9, has completed the 12th grade or.
Now, Mr. President.
Senator Cotullo.
And in the law itself, also said has completed the 12th grade, so you've deleted the double back dip, completed the 12th grade, that would need to be done.
Any further discussion? There's been a motion to advance.
I don't have any other further discussion, except for the note that I don't think that the explanation is particularly correct, because in the original bill, it's the action of the district at a regular meeting, and the committee doesn't see that the action of the district superintendent or the regular meeting of the district.
We are in second reading. Of course, we can discuss the bill to some extent in second reading for purposes of determining whether or not any member wishes to make an amendment.
Well, we're not in second reading, sir. We're having the top of the amendment.
That's why we're in second reading.
Yeah, but I mean, is this the proper place?
Yes, I'm saying, I assume that we're debating, the discussion is whether or not senators wish to amend. Sir, you're in order. I'm not questioning your right to speak. I was merely stating to the body where we were. We're still in second reading, awaiting amendment if anybody wishes to amend. Is there any further discussion? The objection has been withdrawn. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 60 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 60, an act relating to compulsory school attendance and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion on the bill?
Mr. President.
Senator Hackney.
All this bill does is confirm an exception to the board action instead of making it the district instrument signed by a majority of the board members.
Any further discussion on the bill? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill Number 60 pass the Senate? Would senators vote? Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his vote? Senator Cotullo?
No.
right. Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 18 yeas, 1 nay, 1 absent.
And so committee substitute for House Bill number 60 has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta? Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered.
House Bill number 136 amended by Representatives Parr, Brown, Cooper, Gardner, Nackack, Osterbach, and Smith. An act relating to the Wichita Student Exchange Program and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee had this bill under consideration, and they recommend that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Hackney, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Willis, Bradley, and Rohde. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta?
I object for purposes of interjecting.
All right. Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. Does the Secretary have any amendments?
Amendment number 1 by Senator Poland, on page 1, line 13, after medicine, add osteopathy. Is that the way you pronounce it?
Yes, Senator Poland. Is there any objection? Yes, unanimous consent. Hearing no objection, amendment number 1 has been adopted.
Amendment number 2 by Senator Curtula, page 1, line 16, insert after engineering, fishery-biology.
Skip the dash. I move the amendment.
Let me see. This was on line what?
Foreign Petroleum Engineering, on line 16.
16, okay. What is it?
Fishery biology. We're slowly...
Senator, you have the floor.
Slowly but surely adding other areas of expertise. For instance, petroleum engineering is an undergraduate course of great importance to Alaska. We probably have the first couple of years here. And the same way with fishery. I think we better allow the people studying fishery to be included in this program.
Is there any objection? The unanimous consent has been asked for the adoption of the amendment, number 2 by Senator Curtula. Hearing none, so ordered. Amendment number 3.
Amendment number 3 by Senator Ray, page 1, line 16, add after the word nursing, legislative proficiency.
Now, Mr. President, I would move the amendment to refer to the discussion. Now, in the past 12 to 15 years that I sit there in the legislature, I've seen this graduate grow as the honor of sons and daughters, our friends and sons and daughters, the daughters of friends, we have a collection of stuff here that is really entertaining, and I'm sure that thinking about our own proficiency and people following our footsteps, maybe we should have a course of legislative proficiency, but I can see that this is probably premature because when it looks at everybody here, we're all going to be here for a long time.
Amendment number 3 has been withdrawn. Any further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
House Bill.
Senator Ray. Does the Secretary have a fiscal note? Senator Sackett?
There's no fiscal note attached.
There is no fiscal note attached.
occurs in finance, was not set to finance, but there's a certain amount that's appropriated each year, and as we add on more people, just divide that total amount, and everyone gets a little less.
Senator Ray. We are in third reading, are we not, Madam Secretary?
Yes.
Senator Sackett.
I understand the need for additional money. There's no question about that. But if you look at the governor's budget with regard to Wichita, they've even cut it back to the extent that there is question that the law, the part which includes law now, not be funded because we have too many lawyers up here. This was testimony by budget management for
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I just have one question to the chair if anyone can answer. I haven't any problems with the bill, but Senator Lincoln, does not that item become in competition with our own state program now on fisheries? Is that been forgotten, or am I missing part?
Senator Curtula.
Order makes some points of information. One, it wasn't Senator Ray's amendment.
The fishery biology, I think, was Senator Curtula's amendment, wasn't it?
And Mr. President, on the point, it's already adopted. That amendment's already been adopted. Of course, the third reading brings it all before us. No, it's at least as important as some of the other fields. And we couldn't provide over the first two, maybe 2 years and one semester of work in that field here. There's no and we can do that in petroleum engineering, too. That's the reason that I introduced that piece of legislation as an amendment. I think it's important to the state. It's important as about half the things at least that we've got here in this program.
Senator Huber.
I wasn't actually thinking, but I understood that we had a new marine fisheries program. I think either Juno or Kodiak, I think it was Juno, but it's scheduled for more. And I was wondering if this was going to be in competition. It is, but I'm not yet.
Senator Curtula.
Well, in time we will have. I suspect we'll have a school of petroleum engineering also, and we can always amend these out when they come competitive with the state service. These are ones that are not in alphabet.
Senator Tillian.
President, our university turns out very good cost in biology, but their fisheries biology is a disaster. And I agree with the amendment that Senator Curtula has put in. At such time as our university does a creditable job, I'm sure that our young people will start using it. That any person who wants a career in fishing or biology goes to the University of Alaska is out of his head. They don't do that good a job on it. General biology, yes. Fisheries, no.
Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, we have a passed a law last year that I call a fisheries disaster. Maybe we could see some of this money to program.
Senator Ray.
I'm afraid I must take exception with my members and friends who know the truth. We started talking about he proclaimed himself to be an expert in fisheries. I have yet to see the expertise that he is supposed to be able to accommodate for him to show us. He talks a lot, says very little, makes any sense, particularly in this field. Just explaining his lack of proficiency in his appointed position, some kind of an advisor to the international fisheries concern. I'm around this in private group other than the farmer. The University of Alaska will have a fisheries research program inaugurated with Arm Bay within the next 2 years. And I think that at that time, great advancements will be made in the program. The program that presently exists does carry with it credit.
the Northwest Steward. I don't know how you say it, accreditation or accreditation, or whichever one, but there's nothing at all wrong with the university. Right now, the $10 million wouldn't help.
Any further discussion? We have the bill in third reading. Senator Poland? Gentlemen, let's preserve the decorum of the Senate. Senator Hackney?
Mr. President, before the discussion waivers any further appeal, I would like to just interject the fact that this is somewhat of a guessing game because the Deputy Director of the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education is the one who administers this reaching program, and they can only guess as to the number of people who may take advantage of other fields that are opened up here by additions to this bill. Their guess for this year was that if this had remained at graduate nursing and architecture and petroleum engineering, that the possible addition to the budget would be $45,200, assuming three applicants in graduate nursing and 10 applicants in architecture were to take advantage.
To any further discussion, Senator Cotullo?
It intrigues me that the post-secondary education director who allowed regulations to be written, which in my opinion are incorrect and wrong, to remove the program that provides for a student repayment of a portion of the loan program, at least for going outside of school, should now come in and support. Presumably that is the case, support this type of legislation. He's the disaster. The fishery's not the disaster. That fellow's the disaster.
Senator Hackney.
Mr. President, I wasn't aware that that was part of this bill. The gentleman came and testified before the committee, neither in favor nor against it. He barely gave us information on the
subject. Is there any further discussion? The question is, shall House Bill number 136 as amended pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his vote? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
And so House Bill number 136 as amended has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, I move an action that is consent to the roll call vote on House Bill 136 as amended. The roll call vote on the second.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered.
House Bill number 210 for the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act providing for interim management of the Alaska Permanent Fund and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Holman, Vice Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Butrovich and Meeland. Senator Cross signed no recommendation. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta. Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered.
House Bill number 210, an act providing for interim management of the Alaska Permanent Fund and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Senator Huber?
I have one question. Page 2, top of page 2. Parent 4, corporate investment grade security.
Senator Sackett?
Yes, you can be assured that they do not mean that they would mean our CAA security and
profit. Is there a PAA, is that a bonds in, corporate bonds? Is there a letter of intent on that definition, or where do we arrive at that definition? Senator Sackett?
Mr. President, all I have is the testimony that was provided by Commissioner Gallagher and Mr. Denzel before the Senate Finance Committee, and also a letter which they've written, which gives the exact type of investments that they would be making. And with regard to corporate securities, it would be the equivalent of BAA or better by major nationally recognized rating services.
Would it be appropriate, Senator, to have that letter read into our supplemental journal? I think that that would provide the definition that the Senator seeks. Senator Cartula?
I think a point of information. I wonder if the Finance Committee might not sign that as being in concurrence with that when they put it in the journal. So, you know, they could change their mind just because it's in the journal, Mr. President. But the Finance Committee signed it. It was an agreement with the intent of this letter. It would have more bearing when it comes to that particular problem we discussed later.
We can do it any way we wish. Senator Huber?
I would move that to the I want to be very certain that we don't get back into the stock market.
Is there any objection? The journal is a supplemental journal, sir. Supplemental journal be appropriate, Senator Huber?
Supplemental
journal? All right. Is there any objection to the spreading of the letter Senator Sackett just identified in a supplemental journal? Senator Cartula?
I did bring up, I realized that this is the only place you can bring up, so it must be appropriate. I'm wondering if the Finance Committee itself might not consider signing that as it was also there. I think just putting that letter in says, well, this is what you fellows told us. I'll withdraw from
Senator Huber?
Mr. President, could I move that we draft a letter and put it in the journal that it is the intent of this body that we do not enter into common stock market negotiations.
Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, what I would recommend is that before tomorrow, that we pass the bill with the knowledge that the Finance Committee will have a letter of intent, and I'll give notice of reconsideration today, so I would keep the bill, bring it up tomorrow, to add that up tomorrow.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, there we got the cart again before the horse, and so I would move an agenda to accept the whole House bill under 210 over.
Is there any objection to the request that House Bill 210 be held over till tomorrow's calendar? Hearing none, it's ordered. Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I'm sorry. This is a House bill, and I told it there isn't any money coming in right this particular time. There is some.
The motion has already been passed that we hold it over till tomorrow. Do you wish to make an additional motion? Move and ask that unanimous consent that House Bill number 210 be held over until Tuesday's calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
House Bill number 244 by the Finance Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Revenue for the interim management of the Alaska Permanent Fund and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and the majority recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Homan, Vice Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Buttrevich and Mielen. Senator Croft signed do not pass. There are no amendments.
Senator Sackett? Until Tuesday next. Is there any objection? There being no objection, House Bill number 244 will be held over until next Tuesday's calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 4, Finance. was in third reading with a motion pending for adoption of amendment to part one of amendment one.
In third reading?
It was in second reading, I'm sorry. It's in second reading.
Again, state the posture of the bill.
A motion is on the floor to amend part one of amendment number one, which is changing on page one, line nine, 55,000. Amendment number one changed it to 60,000. The amendment to the amendment would change it to 80,000.
You see, that was Senator Coletta's amendment to the first part of Senator Curtula's amendment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Senator Curtula?
Mr. President, under the theory that more is better, you would be hard-pressed not to support the 80,000. Mr. President, this is a form of assistance to those that have served. It's also a subsidy. And while we can say that this program brings in 15 or 16 million annually to the program or to the state, if you wanted to sell a portfolio, of course, you'd sell it for about 70% of value, and you'd lose yourself about $30 or $40 million. And if we get into a liquidity crunch, we may sometimes be forced to do so. Hence, I think we ought to keep as close as possible to supplying housing for people in need, veterans. And 55,000 was getting right up to the line, as anyone in the mortgage market knows. 60,000 will do it. 80,000 will begin to do more than that, and that's the reason that I oppose the amendment.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Coletta?
Yes, Mr. President, in support of the amendment, the previous remarks are really not necessarily correct. First of all, the loans are administered on ability to pay back, and with that in mind, you're setting the limit where there is an inflationary trend in the housing market. $55,000 currently relegates those individuals that it's our intent to help to virtually the lower income type of housing. I've had discussions with the department regarding that. And of course, their analysis shows that they themselves are going to propose an increase to $67,250 based on the cost of living and construction escalator as to what housing does cost today. But what we're saying here, or what my intent is, if in fact the state wishes to accommodate and help people acquire housing, that's a commendable attitude. But why subject those individuals who may have the ability to borrow the maximum of $80,000 to not have the availability of it, and allow individuals, because of the classification of another type of housing, to be dependent on a rental factor to acquire that money? It would just seem that the state is placing itself in a very precarious position in their attempt to help. As a duplex owner, in all probability, the rental unit is going to be a consideration in his ability to make the contractual payment. And I would suggest that the same condition could apply to many people who could afford a single-family dwelling for the same type of payment.
Mr. President.
Senator Curtula.
Testimony certainly is correct insofar as I made a statement on the potential loss to the fund if it has to be liquidated. It is a responsible state support for housing for people that serve their country. 60,000 may not be enough, but it's considerably more than 55, and it's about the critical area. I know that to be true. Also, Mr. President, yesterday's testimony by the same individual stated that we were $180 million in surplus. For $180 million in surplus, why are we screwing around for 5 to 10 cent taxes? We're not in surplus. In fact, the so-called surplus is a direct loan from the oil companies to keep the state going. And we all know it. It's a rate of about a quarter of a billion a year. So we're not in any surplus figure at all. If we've got extra money, let's pay that back. Or not take any more of it. We might have to liquidate that $100 million. And we're trying to keep it as responsible as possible geared to need. And I suppose that maybe $80,000
house is needed by some white collar worker in Fort Payne as badly as a $60,000 house, but I don't think we should open it up until we've got the surplus in the treasury, and at that stage I'll vote for it.
Senator, do you know what the interest rate is that we're charging?
7.5.
And what is the conventional rate?
Well, at least 9.25, 9.5, 10.25.
Senator Ziegler? Senator Croft?
Thank you, Senator. I think that that question of increasing the home loan for single families should be addressed in a separate bill. I think Senator Padula has summarized the situation very accurately. We simply don't know the financial impact of going to 80,000. He may well be correct that the financial impact of going from 55 to 60 on single families is small and they won't have a problem. So one of the things every finance committee member knows that we did in several different meetings that we had on this bill is absolutely make sure that no financial impact is not cost to save any additional money. It's not in any way jeopardized the general fund or any other program. I'm very careful to do that in this duplex area. And that's why I think any change in the 55 limit. Certainly, if you go to 80, one of the things that I think Senator Ray has already mentioned that might happen is that people are going to refinance the house, the existing loans. It's not this bill wouldn't guarantee new loans. What the major impact, if you change the 55 to 80, is going to be to refinance a tremendous number of existing loans, particularly with the interest rate disparity that there is there. So I would oppose both of them. I may well support a bill considering the tool we're going to do, which is ready to 55 to 60. But I think without knowing the impact of either the amendment or the amended amendment, I'd oppose both.
Senator Huber has not yet spoken on this matter. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, correct the possible interpretation did not remain. And it's conceivable that my discussions with the department, my interpretation of what they told me are in error also. But Senator Croft's fears, as alluded to by Senator Ray on the refinancing provision, are not so. The Veterans Loan Program not lend money for the refinancing of a home or for acquisition of a new home, period. You cannot refinance an existing mortgage on the Duty Loan Program. So that area is not going to create the drain because it is not available.
Senator Ray. Senator Curtula.
this was to one section of the bill, and it occurs to Senator Croft at this time. Would he also, because of the testimony of the good senator from Anchorage, Senator Coletta, that the administration had a $67,500 figure coming in as being the responsible one, I move and ask unanimous consent to withdraw my amendment. Now, I don't know if that can carry the amendment. I presume it does. But on the subject, I move and ask unanimous consent with the understanding that I will join anybody or I will sponsor legislation to go through the proper channels to raise the figure from 55 to 67.5, if that's the amount the administration feels can handle at this time.
I assume that if your amendment was withdrawn with unanimous consent, that Senator Coletta would be free to enter an amendment directly himself, changing the 55 to 80. But in no way jeopardize or preclude his rights to offer that amendment a second time.
Be happy to join Senator Coletta in a separate piece of legislation.
Well, or in offering the amendment today, if he wish, should he so desire. Sure. Is there any objection to the withdrawal of Amendment Number 1, the first part of Amendment Number 1 by Senator Curtula? That carries with it Senator Coletta's amendment to the amendment. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, the first portion of Senate Amendment Number 1 has been withdrawn. The second portion of Senate Amendment Number 1 relates to page 2, line 1. Would the Secretary read the second portion?
On page 2, line 1, add, at no time shall loans granted for owner-occupied duplexes exceed 10% of the loans authorized under this paragraph.
Senator Curtula.
I move the amendment. Mr. President, I asked one of the legal counsel drafted up for location and correct placing in the legislation, so I'm going to presume that is the correct area. Again, I think our priority should always be single-family homes, and certainly we shouldn't sponsor profit-making under housing provision. And a duplex, to some extent, is a profit-making venture. Of course, there are areas zoned and so on for duplexes that are the area that the person wishes to live in, and this provides that factor. But I don't think that an outstanding portion of this portfolio with the limited funds we still have available, remember, they're directly dumped on the Treasury from Commerce. I don't think we should have an open end for multiple family dwellings. So that's the reason for this amendment. I think it's responsible to provide you up to $10, $12 million worth of loans in this area that's never had any before.
Senator Huber.
I rise in opposition to the Senator Palmer's amendment. This will seriously hamstring the ability of a veteran who has to build a duplex in order to make it go. And it's bad for the program. Again, it's good for the bankers, bad for the veteran, bad for the people.
Senator Curtula.
I resent that. The President's ridiculous. That's $10 or $12 million worth of mortgage money available under that amendment. And it should not take the place of single family opportunities. It should not grab up that much of the portfolio. 10% is sufficient for that program.
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I have to disagree with Senator Fuller again. Our whole loan program, particularly our veterans loan program, and the purchasing of it by the Treasury, was carefully thought out. There isn't a better place to make our investments. And I sure don't want to see the program hamstrung by a bill that I've been a co-sponsor of.
Right.
I would ask the Senator to put his own bill in if he wants to do that.
Senator Curtula.
A man who has spent time after time amending other pieces of legislation, I think there's some comment to come from.
Any further discussion on the second half of Amendment Number 1? Would the Secretary read the amendment so all senators have it before them?
Page 2, line 1, add at no time shall loans granted for owner-occupied duplexes exceed 10% of the loans authorized under this paragraph.
Would so many as favor the adoption of the amendment say aye?
Aye.
Would so many as oppose say nay? The ayes have it. Senator Huber, did you wish a roll call? Do you still make that request, sir? The chair will declare itself in doubt. The question is, shall the second half of the amendment offered by Senator Curtula be adopted? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his vote? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 8 yeas, 11 nays, 1 absent.
And so the second half of Amendment Number 1 by Senator Curtula has failed to be adopted. Do we have any further amendments?
Amendment Number 2 by Senator Ferguson on page 1 on lines 10, 12, 15, 20, 21, and 28. It's the same wording. After owner-occupied duplexes, add and modular homes with a fixed foundation.
Senator Ferguson. You have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, this is one of the pieces of legislation that is discriminatory against the non-veterans and rightly so. One of the problems we have in the rural area is the high cost of transportation. To transport a modular home that was pre-constructed outside of the state of Alaska, which there are many residents in rural areas are going through because of the high cost to fix or stick construction. To transport a modular home from Seattle to Thompson cost $34,000. That is just for the transportation alone. One of the things we find is that the housing is very expensive in the rural areas, and I have the modular homes because that is one of the ways that people are purchasing buildings at this time. I also included the buildings have to be under a fixed foundation, making them less mobile. One of the things that I look at is moving a modular home to Kotzebue is a lot different than moving it to Anchorage, where we don't have any highways to transport the modular homes out after they have reached there because it costs too much to move them out. So I think they would be fixed structures that would be located in those locales.
Any further discussion on, this is Amendment Number 2, is it, Madam Secretary?
Amendment Number 2.
Any further discussion on Amendment Number 2?
Question.
Would so many as favor the adoption of Amendment Number 2 say aye?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay?
No.
The chair is in doubt. We will, senators will proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his vote? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 11 yeas, 8 nays, and 1 absent.
And so Amendment Number 2 has been adopted.
Amendment Number 3 by Senator Ray, page 1, line 23. After owner, add voluntarily.
Let me see. Senator Ray, would you read that amendment again, Madam Secretary?
On page 1, line 23, after owner, add voluntarily.
Yes. Motion's been made. Do you ask unanimous consent, sir? Or do you wish to speak on it? Is there objection? Senator Ray, you have the floor. Senator Croft.
President, one of the purposes of the bill was to prevent somebody from using this section of the Veterans Loan Statute as a means of financing a large series of duplexes that you might want to construct because it does allow 100% finance. And for the language is drawn so that if the person moves out of the duplex, he's using it as a resident, then he would be treated as
Senator Ray?
All the way around it, he's talked about people who are going to build something and take advantage of it. What I'm saying is that for somebody that, who involuntarily must move out of the duplex through a marital problem or maybe even through a fire or something else, it no longer is his place of residence.
Senator Huber's not yet spoken on the amendment. Senator Sumner. Senator Ray. Senator Huber, Senate will stand at ease. Would the Senate come to order? We are at amendment number 3 by Senator Ray. Senator Ray. Yes, and then did you wish to substitute? Would the Secretary read Amendment Number 4, then?
Amendment Number 4 by Senators Ray and Huber, page 1, line 23. After owner, add voluntarily or for approved hardship cases.
Senator Bradley is also one of the authors.
I think
Senator Ray.
It says voluntarily.
Stand at ease. The Senate will come back to order. Senator Ray?
I was right the first
time. Is there any discussion, any further discussion on Amendment Number 4?
I move the amendment.
Is there any objection? There is an objection. Senator Poland. Madam Secretary, would you read the amendment in context?
Okay. The loan agreement shall also provide...
This is line 23 on page 1. All right. After owner is where the word goes in, but you're going to read the okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. The loan agreement shall also provide that after the owner voluntarily or for approved hardship cases ceases to occupy the duplex and so on.
President. Senator Ziegler.
Nobody would ever approve of a hardship case.
Is there any further discussion on amendment number 4 by Senators Ray, Huber, and Bradley?
Question?
Mr. President. Senator Sumner.
I'd like to call on for the chair, Senator Petula, to explain that amendment. There's 3 people involved, and I'm not sure I still understand the essence of it.
Senator Curtula.
I voluntarily, but for no reason that I know of, in the hardship case.
Is there any further discussion on amendment number 4? Would so many as favor the adoption of amendment number 4 say aye?
Aye.
Would those opposed say nay?
Nay.
Chairs in doubt, senators will proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his vote? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 7 yeas, 12 nays, and 1 absent.
And so amendment number 4 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 5. Page 1, line 9, after single family, insert, and mobile home with a fixed foundation.
This is Senate by Senator Ferguson. Senator Ferguson.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the amendment.
Did you ask unanimous consent?
I do not.
All right. Would you speak on it, sir?
Mr. President, I think this may be the most objectionable to the members of the Senate.
Senator Petula.
Way of explanation. You know, fixed foundation modular is a great deal different structure than a mobile home. Modular may well be to the equal stresses, equal construction of a stick-built house. But a mobile home is far different. That's a much less building. It's much more hazardous investment.
Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, one of the things that I look at is we only had 1 mile of state highways.
The question we have before us is amendment number 5. Any further discussion on amendment number 5? Would so many as favor the adoption of amendment number 5 say aye?
Aye.
Those opposed say no?
No.
The nays have it. Amendment number 5 has failed to pass.
Amendment number 6 by Senator Huber. Page
Senator Huber?
My amendment only applies if the amendments by Senator Petula and Senator Saleta both pass, so I withdraw.
Amendment number 6 has been withdrawn. Are there any further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray?
I move and ask unanimous consent that we reconsider our action on failing to adopt amendment number 4, and I would ask for forgiveness
of the question. Let me see here. The Senate was standing at ease. Would the Senate come to order? Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I had the wrong word there. Consider action.
If we, if a yes vote, we would rescind our action, and that would place amendment number 4 against us, before us again, as though it had not been acted upon. Is there any further discussion? Would so many as favor the rescission of our failure to adopt amendment number 4 say aye? Oh, was there objection? There is objection.
Roll call.
Would so many as favor that we rescind our action in failing to adopt amendment number 4. That is the question. Would so many say? The question is, shall the Senate rescind its action in failing to adopt amendment number 4? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his vote? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 8 yeas, 11 nays, 1 absent.
The Senate has failed to rescind its earlier action in refusing to adopt amendment number 4. Senator Ray.
We have another amendment.
So the Senate will stand at ease. The Senate will come back to order. Senator Curtula. Without objection, so ordered.
The President, one of the distinguished members of the Constitutional Convention, former member of the legislature, and a great Alaskan, Mr. Kip Harvey.
We extend to you the privilege of the floor, Representative Hurley, should you so desire it. Glad to have you with us. Any further introduction of guests? Senator Poland? Any further introduction of guests? We revert to the orders of the day. We have before us amendment number 6 to committee substitute for Senate Bill number 4.
Amendment number 6 by Senator Ray, page 1, line 23, after owner, add voluntarily.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I would move the amendment.
Would the Senate come to order? Is there any discussion?
Roll call.
Is there enough hands for a roll call? The question is, shall the Senate adopt amendment number 6? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his vote? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 6 yeas, 13 nays, 1 absent.
And so the Senate has failed to adopt amendment number 6. Are there any further amendments? Pardon? The Senate will stand at ease.
sit or seek the floor?
I have
an... Can you sit or seek the floor? Or do you have...
I have an amendment number 7.
Would you read it?
By Senators Huber and Bradley, page 2, line 1. Add, the board may approve non-occupancy of a duplex by the owner in hardship cases.
The discussion, Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I move the amendment.
You have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, today the attempt here is to leave place so that the person for the purposes of hardship, as I stated arguably a couple of days ago, medical reasons, the person has to move out of it and allow somebody else to move in temporarily while he goes with his wife to mail brothers or something like that. You want to put it in the context that the board could approve it under those conditions. I think it's self-explanatory. It would also take care of Senator Ray's concern in the same manner.
Mr. President.
Senator Petula.
I just have to Riley know if it wasn't but a few moments ago that I was chastised by the same senator for suggesting an amendment to this legislation. Here comes an amendment to his own bill.
Senator Huber. As a point of order here, gentlemen, we don't chastise each other on the floor of the Senate here. Let's debate these issues, and I'm going to start calling senators out of order on anything which appears to be personal chastisement or something else. Is there any further discussion on amendment number 7? Would so many as favor the adopted amendment? Is there a request for a roll call? The question is, shall amendment number 7 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his vote? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 2 yeas, 16 nays, and 2 absent.
So amendment number 7 has failed to pass the Senate. Do we have any further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Senator Collette.
Mr. President, I would mention that the state of the Senate of the floor has amended the legislation broken and has their agreement to take the final passage.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there any discussion on the bill?
Isn't that the grand reading?
Yes, it does.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 4, Finance Amended, an act relating to veterans' loans.
Is there any discussion?
Question.
The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill number 4, Finance, pass the Senate? The senators proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his vote? Have all senators voted? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 14 yeas, 5 nays, 1 absent.
That concludes our daily calendar. Senator Huber. Secretary will note the reconsideration. Senator Breckinridge. I'm sorry. Senate Bill number 4 failed to pass the Senate. The roll was 14 nays and 5 yeas. I'm sorry. Would the Secretary read them?
Their roll shows 14 yeas, 5 nays, and 1 absent.
Senate Bill 4, as amended, has passed the Senate. That's correct.
Mr.
Senator Dickinson.
I have served notice of my intention to reconsider my vote on House Bill 136.
Does the Secretary make the notation? We are at unfinished business. Senator Huber. Yes, she gave you notice, and that's That has been noted by the secretary, has it not?
It's been noted.
Any other unfinished business? Senator Pertula.
President, just on the land problem, I noticed that Senator Hammond has noted Alaska land threatened. Certainly it's been threatened. The horse has got out of the barn. And I think he's now near hysteria on the subject. And I think both he and the congressional delegation were extremely weak in representing Alaska's views for quite some time. And now maybe it's too late. Any action can be taken after taken by this body.
Senator Crom?
An act relating to tort claims against the state of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
President, I move to ask unanimous consent to the bill to be third reading until Tuesday, the calendar. I would vote for tomorrow, Monday, and that's too late to vote on the light calendar.
Is there any objection to the holding of Senate Bill number 151 in third reading until Tuesday's calendar? Senator Tillian? Yes, but first I'd like to find out if there's an objection on this one. There is no objection. We held over until Tuesday on Senate Bill 151, third reading. Senator Chilley, did you seek the floor?
House Bill 182, amended Senate.
House Bill 182, be held until Tuesday also. Is there any objection? There being no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill number 182 will be held until Tuesday's calendar. Excuse me, did you rise to object, sir?
Yes. No, I didn't rise to object. I rise to recognition.
You have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, I would also move that to accept the reconsideration of Senate Bill 4.
Is there any objection? The reconsideration on Senate Bill 4 will be held until Tuesday's calendar for reconsideration. Senator Ray?
Tomorrow, I fully intend on a special order to call the editor of this case. It's incredible. I fully intend on the floor of the House to call him a liar. But as I will be absent tomorrow, I would ask and move and ask unanimous consent that my consideration be held over to Tuesday.
The secretary has called my attention that the reconsideration given on Senate Bill 4 was passed today. Generally goes over to one legislative day. However, I see nothing inappropriate with a motion that would be held over an additional time, particularly when there's no objection until Tuesday's calendar. Is there any objection?
Time certain.
To a time certain instead of one legislative day. It's automatically held one legislative day, but I think we can extend that. That would be difficult. Any objection to that? Any further unfinished business? Special orders?
No, I'm going to.
You have the floor, ma'am.
Yesterday I read an article on the Fairbanks Jewish Minor and the Council of the same article. What is the gas here against the improper gas? Alaska's Food Hotel, one of the guests, has admitted to the Johnson
situation of the problems that made the cessation of the diversion credit compared to 1975-76 average interstate gas price of 30 to 46 cents per thousand cubic feet, which is in trust rate price of 48 to 71 cents. Mr. President, I agree with Mr. Chairman, but one of the companies that got the biggest part of our gas, 50%, has engaged in the flexible act. They had a smaller problem, which we discussed at the hearings down there, and no one felt that it was a great problem because it seemed to have been cleared up. But it's a mystery to me how we can expect a company whose reputation is trying to do this sort of act to have political support to help us get the right path along. Many of us supported the contract because we trust that it's going to be on the right path along. But I feel the critical fact is going to be a hindrance to what it's going to help, and I believe that we can call up the government and ask them not to sign the technical contract.
Any other special orders?
Mr. President, we'll cancel the rules committee set for today, but in as much as we only have two simple resolutions on the calendar tomorrow, and the finance committee will not be here, there'll be a rules committee meeting upon adjournment tomorrow, if there's no Republican caucus.
That's a simple rule.
Mr. President, at 1 p.m. today, we'll continue with the education budget. We have to put out the mandate for the education broadcast commission and also for the improved arts program. We'll be taking that for you until 2 o'clock. At 3 p.m., general government subcommittee will be meeting on their subcommittee budget. At 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, the full finance committee will be meeting on the district board.
Mr. President, the Senate Commerce Committee will be provided at 8 a.m. room 628 of the Capitol Court Building, a joint session with the House Commerce Committee to consider appointees to the Alaska Board of Public Accounts. At 9 o'clock, 1 hour later, in the morning, room 207, a regular meeting room at the building, the Senate Commerce Committee just itself will meet to consider Senate Bill 166, the Alaska Transportation Commission Authority over joint carrier agreements, and Senate Bill 8, the sales and prosecuting
division. Mr. President, the Assembly Regional Affairs Committee will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock or upon adjournment of the joint session, whichever is later. Discussion will not have witnesses, but we will take up Senate Bill 47. And Senate Concurrent Resolution 13-14, which will get over to the
Senator Curtula?
As required by yourself, tradition of the Senate, the State Affairs Committee did send out a great number of letters to the appropriate people that come under our purview for confirmation. Some of them have been answered. I presume you don't want those answers supplemented journal, I think, but any person that has an interest in the background of any person up for confirmation that's under our purview, and there are a great number, welcome to contact us and get the letters in. If there's any backup there, why it's available to you. Again, very few of the people will call in for a direct hearing. Just the two commissioners, and if they're not, the rest are all just committee members, the various committees. Backup will be there for your information that the letters have been asked.
Any further announcements? Senator Poland?
Mr. President, in the same vein, on the resources committee, I contact committee members, and the only gentleman who had a problem with Mr. Warwick. I read in the paper that the Attorney General is going to send us a letter, but as of now, we have not received that.
Any further announcements? Senator Coletta?
Mr.
Mr. President, I move that the ask unanimous consent to extend the recess to 2 p.m.
Before we go into recess, I want to make an observation. We have always, it always has been, as so long as I can recall, the practice in both the House and the Senate that when a member requests a temporary at ease, that the body accommodate him. We all know that the work of this body can be seriously disrupted if that courtesy and if that privilege is used to excess. I hope that members will attempt to use it no more than absolutely necessary, and I recognize that things do come up that we don't anticipate, and that in the course of debate there is a reason for it. But the decorum of the Senate is seriously jeopardized if it is done beyond a certain point. In my view, we reached that point today. I hope that that members will agree with me that the Senate will function better and with more decorum, be held in more esteem by ourselves and in the eyes of the public if we keep that to a minimum in the future. Is there any objection to the adjournment motion? There is a recess motion until 2 o'clock. Senator Huber? Sir, you don't have to answer me. My remarks were not directed to you, sir. No, sir. There must have been 30 or 40 at eases today, and every one of them are equally justified, but every one of them equally adds to the problem of the Senate in the progress of its work. Senator Curtula? I want to make it certain, Senator Huber, I was not singling you out. Your at eases are as justified as any that we've had today. It's just a problem that we do, too many at eases do tend to destroy the decorum of the Senate and delay very seriously our work. We have a motion to recess until 2 o'clock for the joint meeting with the House. Is there any objection? We stand in recess until 2 o'clock. Senate will come to order.
Mr. President.
Senator Sackett.
Under committee announcements.
You have the floor, sir.
The Finance Committee is still meeting. We'd like to meet from 3 o'clock before the general government subcommittee goes into their meeting.
Is there any further business to come before the Senate? Senator Coletta. I see Senators Huber and Poland. Do you wish to address, are you rising to be recognized or just to be here? Is there any objection to the adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow? The Senate stands adjourned until 10 o'clock tomorrow.